Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Mark here as well, remotely from Honduras, but should we get a chance, we can come back and talk about things that are developing there. But we've gotten into immigration as a topic, and, you know, election season's coming up, so you know immigration's going to be another part of the national conversation again.
Instead of war, again.
Well, and of course, World War III is in maybe in process over in Ukraine, and hopefully people will be talking about that too. But we're going to get into a little bit more about this E-Verify program that apparently a lot of conservatives are pushing. Conservative influencer Jack Posobiec on various different social media is pushing this E-Verify concept that has been around for some time. It's just they're now talking about making it mandatory. We'll get into the details on that coming up here. They believe it's going, the conservative types believe that it's going to save the country from the scourge of illegal immigration. But let's go first to this caller. You're on Free Talk Live. What's your name?
It's Tommy. Good evening, everybody. I wanted to say what a firecracker of a show tonight.
Thanks.
Mark, Aria, everything. It's just been hitting on point. I've been riveted tonight. Just been loving the show. One of the best shows I've heard in quite a while.
That's very nice,
so
Tommy.
I just really, really just wanted to give a thumbs up to that tonight.
All right.
And Mark for coming on. And it's great. Not to go off too far off topic. I wanted to switch real quick. I was trying to call a little earlier, but you guys were real busy, so I couldn't get through. Understandable. Ariel, when you do go to prison, people are wondering, are you going to do your change? Because now federally approved, they will approve for you to do your change while you're in there. And I think it would be glorious for you to be able to go in and do your final arrangements when you go in, you know, to prison there and do your
I think I know what you mean. You mean like bottom surgery, right? Like sexual reassignment surgery?
Yeah.
Well, only about like 25% of trans people undergo bottom surgery.
I think you've said before you have no interest in doing
it. No, I have no interest in doing it. So, but I mean, we're already at like 1 in 4 trans people, and that number is probably going to get substantially lower as more and more people become trans and more people come out as trans and non-binary. I would suggest like...
And a lot of people regret making this move. I mean, this is a serious piece of surgery, right? Like, this is
right. Really, there's no benefit.
Awful.
There's no benefit to me, right? Yeah. Whatsoever.
If you enjoy having sex, there's certainly no benefit to it.
Well, yeah, sex is, from all accounts, sex is still enjoyable. It's just different. And, you know, and it certainly could not possibly be as enjoyable, certainly.
Yeah.
Right? And it's just something I have no intention of doing. I don't think it would.
Cutting up some really sensitive.
And it's
parts.
Not going to matter to anyone, right? So if I'm dating a girl, then she's happy with my body. If I'm dating a guy, then he's happy with my body. I would only
if
do
you're
this.
Happy with you,
yeah, and I'm happy
matters.
With me,
yeah.
Right? So maybe strangers out on the internet will be like, "Well, Aria's not really a woman because she hasn't had bottom surgery or whatever." But getting that's not going to change their perception of me anyway.
Think. Yeah. Thank you.
Hey, but Aria, just out of curiosity here, what about the? I know you're on hormones, and I don't know if you've ever thought on air, but I guess I just did.
She has. Yeah,
what? How reversible is that?
To an extent, I mean, none of it's reversible now, right? I've been on hormones for too long. It's just
right.
Like any other procedure that changes your body after a certain length of time. Like, I look at pictures from myself like 7 or 8 years ago, back when I was, you know, I had a lot of muscle and I didn't have this body fat here. And I haven't gotten any fatter, but all of that muscle turned into fat. And that probably to some extent reversible if I stopped taking hormones and I, you know, started heavily exercising and stuff again. But it's done, right? So some of this is like the little tiny breasts that I have, they're not going away.
I was curious.
All right, let's continue. Ricky's on the line in Pennsylvania. Go ahead, Ricky.
Thank you there, Brother Ian. What happened to Ricky from the Commonwealth?
I think that's what you call yourself. Go ahead. What's on your mind today?
What did you call him?
Oh, you called me that?
No, I said Ricky in Pennsylvania.
Oh. Well, it's got to be legal. You did it with TJ for the spy for years.
Ricky, what are you calling about tonight?
All right. You know, I was good. Just a quick comment before going to my topic. You know, I was hearing this guy called in again. Now he's referring to this past Tuesday, the discussion you, me, and all you had about open borders and work.
Uh-huh.
I think we lost him because he just, like, seemed to cut out in mid-sentence. Are you still with us?
Yeah, I guess he's gone.
Ricky from the state of Pennsylvania? Are you there?
I don't know what happened to that call. He was actually on hold.
That's not nice.
He was actually on hold for like almost 2 hours.
I was just trying to summon him. And like, if you want,
that would have made
if you want Ricky to speak up.
That would have been the way to do it. You're absolutely right.
I hesitate to say this, but if it was an accident, you are allowed to call back, Ricky. So thanks for the call. Let's go to Sarah in New Mexico. Sarah, you're on Free Talk Live.
From the Commonwealth of New Mexico.
Are they a Commonwealth, too?
I don't know, man.
This is kind of bizarre. I never remember talking to me. He told me that he was on the phone talking to me about something. I just don't remember.
Who?
But
are you talking to us?
He said he was... No, the caller that got dropped.
Ricky?
He said he was on the... Yeah, on the... He put me on a three-way call with you and the whatever. He had a conversation with me. I don't kind of remember it.
I don't remember that either.
But,
that makes two of us.
Yeah, you know what? I just wanted to bring up, you know, they've been catching murderers, like, using genealogy, and I think that's so fascinating.
Who has been catching murderers?
Well, remember the Golden Gate murderer in California? Yeah, he was raping and murdering women, and then they finally caught him after, like, so many years, but they used genetics, genealogy, because he was not in the criminal database.
Oh, yeah. And okay, I have this story here. The Idaho murderer's suspect was identified through DNA using genealogy databases.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, yeah, we knew this. This is why I've been against these genealogy things from the beginning, 23andMe, Ancestry, and all this crap. We knew they were going to turn this information over to governments. And we knew that governments were going to use this for, quote, law enforcement. Sure, they start with catching murderers or whatever, but that's just how it begins.
Well, but I think it's a good thing, because they caught a rapist here. They raped a woman in the jogging along the Rio Grande. And what happens is
how old is this guy?
Relatives, I don't know, in their 20s. But then, see, they don't have any criminal record. Otherwise, they could match the DNA to some kind of criminal. So what happens is
you want the government to have a reservoir of everyone's DNA so that they can match them anytime a crime is committed. I get it, Sarah. It's horrible.
To be fair here, the story at least does not say what database they used. It does say it was a, quote, public genealogy database. I don't know if 23andMe or Ancestry.com are considered a public database. That's not to say that they probably couldn't get a warrant to...
Well, one of them sold their databases to law enforcement. I think it was to the FBI. Mm. I think it was 23andMe that did that, but I don't remember now.
Sarah, thanks for the call tonight. Appreciate it. Let's bring Ricky back on the line here in Pennsylvania. Okay, Ricky, what were you trying to say?
I don't know how much you heard of that, Ian. But all I was saying is this guy refers now to this past Tuesday's discussion with you, me, and Arya. I came in after the sheriff, and we had a great discussion about open borders.
Okay.
And he's like the complete opposite of all of that. This guy has no experience. He came after I did. I heard his first call onward.
You're referring to the situation who we heard from earlier tonight, who was, I think, misrepresenting what Mexicans and other South American or Central American workers come up here and are willing to work for. He claimed they were willing to work for $1 an hour, which I'm sorry, I don't believe that for a moment. If you're talking about a skilled construction worker, they know they can get more than $1 an hour, so they're going to work for more than that.
Minimum wage in Honduras is about $2.50 an hour.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, so why would you come here to work for less? That doesn't make
sense. If you couldn't get a job, I suppose.
Yeah. I mean, if the white guys are working for 25 an hour, you can work for 20 and you'll get work all day long.
And you know what, Ian? He heard all of this because he obviously heard you, me, and Arya discussing it, because the sheriff wasn't talking about workers working and all of that. We were. This is what I don't like about this guy.
Why are you calling to have a beef with somebody, Ricky? Who cares whether you don't like him?
Radio's all about beef.
I'd rather have a talk about an issue. So what was the point of your call tonight?
Obamacare.
Okay.
Now, here's how this goes. It was like a year before the Affordable Care Act was passed. I was here in PA checking into Northeastern, Blue Cross, and Blue Shield. Okay? Now, the Affordable Care Act gets passed, and there was only two differences, because Obama could only get two things he wanted, but here's one of them. Pre-existing conditions.
Mm-hmm.
This is what the Republicans really why they want to kill Obamacare. Because, you know, that's the reason why. Pre-existing conditions.
Right. They wanted to force these companies to cover people who have pre-existing conditions.
Right. And you know what? Damn it, they should, actually.
Because not if they want to have a business that is actually profitable.
Why should an auto insurance company pre-insure my vehicle that I bring in already wrecked?
Well, here's why. I'll tell you why. Because the game insurance, medical insurance does, and all insurance companies do with their, quote, you know, different things that they have for exceptions and all of that. In the case of medical insurance, in the case of Obama, his mom got diagnosed with cancer. She never could get treatment. And they'll use the pre-existing condition for everything. They'll call everything a pre-existing condition. That's the problem with it. That's why he wanted that there. Now, here's another thing. I have Medicare now, right?
Yeah, but that doesn't answer the question, Ricky. Like, why should Geico, my car is totaled already, and I put insurance on it with Geico. Why should they be forced to pay for that?
I'll tell you why. Because at some point you get deep enough into bed with the government that you are the government. And I have zero compunction to defend the insurance companies at this point. They've been on the receiving end of all kinds of regulation, keeping people out of this market. It is very, very difficult to open an insurance company.
Sure, but the problem is you're forcing people to sign up for it. It would be one thing to...
Oh, I know.
Yeah, so it'd be one thing to say, yeah, screw the insurance companies if you didn't have to buy their product, but the whole point of Obamacare, as I understood it, was to force people to buy their crap can product, and then by forcing them to cover pre-existing conditions, you're talking about increasing the cost of buying that particular product. So, I mean, it is definitely a benefit to some extent to the insurance companies because they're getting all kinds of business that they might not have had before.
From healthy people who have no need of insurance.
But in theory, also, it could be that they're trying to put the insurance companies out of business so the state can take it over when they fail, knowing that if they're forced to cover pre-existing conditions, they can't possibly recoup those costs, and so they will go under, and then the state will be waiting with open arms to take over and have the one-size-fits-all so-called universal health care. Ricky, thanks for the call.
I had a conversation today with two guys that have international insurance, and they're paying between $200 and $300 per month for their insurance. Mm-hmm. And in the U.S., the both of them claim that their insurance would be between $2,000 and $3,000.
Wow.
So the United States healthcare system is, at no doubt about it, broken. And for me, I'm not defending it because I will defend a free market in healthcare, but we don't have anything like that.
How does international
we have a fascism.
How does international insurance work? I mean, is it only in some countries that some hospitals take it, or how does that work? Do you know?
Is my understanding is that wherever you go, they cover you. But it doesn't cover in the United States or something to that effect. And therefore, for instance, one of the guys that I was talking to literally had $100,000 spent on him during COVID. He was quite ill, and he wasn't expected to make it. He was going to be one of those statistics. Mm. And, he made it out of the hospital, thank goodness. And you know, they paid for all of it. His premium was $300 a month. It still is.
So I want to go back to immigration, the Mises Institute, Ryan McMacken, who is writing here on a piece about this E-Verify that a lot of the people on the right are now pushing this idea as the big solution to the quote-unquote problems of immigration. They say here that members of the U.S. House of Representatives are set to vote this week on new legislation that would greatly increase the federal government's power over private businesses, workers, and U.S. citizens.
Okay, you've already lost me off the bat. Like, that first sentence, nope, we don't want that. Let's not do it.
This is terrible. But the Republicans are pushing for it because immigration's scary.
No, Republicans are scary.
Unfortunately, much of the GOP majority is supportive of the legislation because of its title, which is the Border Security and Enforcement Act of 2023. It's being marketed as a bill to secure the border. It contains a provision mandating nationwide use of E-Verify, which is essentially a federal surveillance program that determines whether or not a person can be legally employed in the United States. Every American would require the federal government's permission to work. So long as the Border Security and Enforcement Act contains these provisions, the bill presents a clear and present danger to basic American freedoms and property rights. The expansion of E-Verify would also go a long way in helping the federal government build the essential infrastructure that in the future could be used to implement social credit scores or restrictions on employment for those who refuse federally mandated vaccines or other mandates. E-Verify was initially implemented in 1997 as a program designed to prevent companies from employing foreign nationals who had entered the U.S. illegally. The program was never made mandatory at the federal level. However, it has been voluntary, except for certain states that have mandated the use of E-Verify. So I remember years ago on Free Talk Live, we talked about E-Verify because some big corporations were touting about how proud they were.
Dunkin' Donuts.
Dunkin' Donuts. Yep, that's the one. Was touting about how proud they were that they use E-Verify. They volunteered in to verify.
Our donuts are made by real Americans.
Yeah. And that's all right. This does is verify that people are here illegally?
That's all it does right now.
Right. No, I didn't mean this. I mean, my question was because that's not a worth bragging about, right? Like, oh, well, we're only hiring people who are supposed to be here legally. Okay, well, that might be a dumb financial decision, first of all, but at the second time, it's completely irrelevant to me.
They're trying to pander, like Mark was saying. They're pandering to the flag
to the crazy
wavers.
Republicans?
Yeah, the flag wavers.
Well, look, I want to say that there's some difficulties with being here illegally, and I'm just going to give a short explanation to that. Being in the United States, I say here, there, being in the United States illegally turns one into much closer to a slave than anything we were talking about, any living person here currently, you know, in the world. And that's because if you're, say, I just came across the border, I started working at Farm A, I'm making $40 a bushel picking vegetables. The guy at Farm B says he'll give me $45 a bushel. Now, I can go to my boss and I can say, look, I go to my boss and I say, look, they're offering me $45 over there per bushel. I'm going to go over there unless you can match that. The boss says, well, I could match that. I could give you 47, but I'm not going to. What I'm going to do instead is call La Migre if you leave.
Yeah, no, you're pointing out that people who have essentially been smuggled here and are working underground are subject to potentially unscrupulous bosses. And
yeah, this has been true since the Middle Ages, like when peasants were restricted to work for one particular lord or another, and they literally were not allowed to go and work for a different one to get better wages. I mean, they weren't even allowed to pay wages in most of these cases, but you certainly were not allowed to say, you know what, I don't like working on this lord's farm, I'm going to go work on this other one. No, they would drag you back. So it's just serfdom. It's just modern serfdom. That's not you.
You're right about that, Mark, but it's still telling that so many people are willing to come here and potentially subject themselves to that because that is still better for them than wherever it is they're leaving.
Yeah, I would agree, and I just want to make it clear that because many Americans really don't understand what it's like to be an illegal alien.
No, they have no idea.
It's no fun.
Since the implementation, only 9 states have mandated the use of E-Verify for all employers.
I bet we could guess which 9, too. It's going to be like Texas, Mississippi, Louisiana.
Doesn't list them here.
Oh,
but Florida, the so-called free state of Florida, is poised to be the next to impose these mandates on employers, Ron DeSantis, the governor there, has repeatedly pushed to further regulate and surveil private businesses with universal E-Verify, which is certainly awkward for him to, on one hand, say he's all against the government's CBDC. Ron DeSantis has been making this big push against the central bank digital currency to gain him whatever kind of brownie points he's going to gain from making these statements, because ultimately, how is he going to actually
oppose it? He's trying to pander to Christians who are all like, that's the mark of the beast, right?
Right. And he's all about, oh, yeah, we're about protecting your privacy and we're... But yet he's supporting E-Verify. So, like, these people have absolutely no consistency whatsoever in their beliefs. And, Mark, I think you hit the nail on the head when we first brought this up. So many of these conservatives are all about protecting privacy when it comes to medical information and vaccinations. And I agree with them on that. But they don't give a damn about privacy when it comes to working.
That's the point. That's the point of freedom is that you must offer freedom to everyone else if you expect to have it for yourself. If you want to have the freedom to not have to carry a vaccine passport when you travel abroad or even go to a restaurant in your town, then you also have to advocate for the same sort of freedom for other people whose status may not be the same.
But Mark, this is
And one last thing, I think this is really important, is I just found out today that the fine in Mexico for overstaying your visa, which is the vast majority of people in the United States haven't snuck across a border, they've overstayed a visa.
Mm-hmm.
It's $50. So for those who are like, it's illegal. Well, it is illegal, but in Mexico you can leave the airport and pay your $50 and off you go.
But Mark, this E-Verify thing, this is just going to target the illegal immigrants. The people who aren't legally supposed to, the government would never use this to implement some sort of vaccine passport or anything like that.
Or a social credit score.
Yeah, this is just going to target,
the
brown people.
Right, because government programs always stay the way they were originally intended. They never expand beyond their original visions.
It's so sad that they have this blind spot that you basically say, oh, no, it's to save us from the Mexicans who want to come here and work for a dollar an hour or whatever. They have this tremendous blind spot where they're bending over. They were fighting against this not even 2 years ago. They were actively fighting against this crap.
It is we've had throughout the years lots of calls, so it's like it's the leprositic Mexicans that want to eat our ducks. I mean, calling in and complaining that the Muskogee ducks at their apartment complex have disappeared since the
election. Oh my lord, really?
Yes.
So this act, this border security, so-called an enforcement act, would mandate nationwide use of E-Verify for all employers and remove state-level authority to approve or decline participation. In other words, Congress is now considering one of the largest expansions of federal employment regulation in years. As is often the case, however, conservatives and Republicans are happy to embrace more federal power and regulation when it suits their political agendas. Beginning the days of the War on Terror, conservatives in the GOP often promoted and approved new anti-terrorism legislation, creating vast federal spying and prosecutorial powers. Supporters often supposed such powers could only possibly be used against Islamic terrorists and other official members or enemies of the Bush administration. We're going to continue here with more about E-Verify, the next big crackdown on immigration and freedom, coming up. It's Free Talk Live.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
U.S. USA News Update. The killer in last weekend's Texas shopping mall massacre had neo-Nazi sympathies. According to the latest update from state police, Hank Sibley with the Texas Department of Public Safety said there was no manifesto found, however.
We are trying to get into his computer and on social media and find out, you know, whether he had anything that he'd publicized or been out.
He stopped short of calling it an act of domestic terrorism. A Russian social media site linked to the gunman has a selfie showing a swastika tattoo and posts that show a deep affinity for Nazi culture. And Tucker Carlson says his show is relaunching on Twitter.
Amazingly, as of tonight, there aren't many platforms left that allow free speech. The last big one remaining in the world, the only one, is Twitter.
The former Fox News host said the new show would be coming soon, but an exact date was not mentioned. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. Phones are open here. We got time for you if you want to join the show. We're talking about the latest big conservative blind spots where they can see how government control in certain areas is a danger to freedom, like vaccine mandates. But they can't see how the same exact system being implemented under the auspices of immigration restrictions is also a threat to their liberties. And we're explaining from the article over at Mises.org about this E-Verify program, which has actually been around since the late 1990s, that companies have been using on a voluntary basis up until now, although there are apparently 9 states that mandate it. But generally, it is considered a voluntary program. There's a new bill called the Border Security and Enforcement Act of 2023 that proposes to make that a mandatory thing for any employer in the United States. Seeing Aria and Mark in the studio doing the show here tonight. And again, the number for you to join us if you want is 603-283-6160.
I got to be honest, I admire the restraint that the government has shown by not already making this mandatory, right? Like, they implement these optional programs all the time, and they very quickly become mandatory. This one, however, has existed for, what, decades? And they have not yet made it mandatory? That's almost impressive. It's evil.
we predicted when we talked about this, whenever it was, probably 15 years ago now, we predicted that this would someday become mandatory.
Right. And it would be, right? But 15 years is a long time for them to take doing something like this. I'm surprised by the amount of time it took them.
Similar pro-regime arguments are now being used to promote E-Verify. We're told it will only be used against immigrants. We're
obviously
told that unless you're breaking the law, you have nothing to worry about. We've heard these claims in other contexts many times before.
I also admire this guy and his capability to point out the hypocrisy from the right. Like, I lost the desire and the capacity to do that 20 years ago, mm-hmm. right? When there were so many obvious examples, like 9/11, for example. It's like, oh, this is going to come back and bite you, and it's going to ultimately target you. And then sure enough, a few years later, that's exactly what it did. And we had Edward Snowden come out. Right? As a libertarian, I'm used to warning people about the dangers of these government programs and how they're going to ultimately bite people in the rear. I can't believe that a libertarian out there, any libertarian, isn't already completely burned out on pointing out to Republicans, oh, look, no, this is a terrible idea, and this is exactly what's going to happen when you do it. And then 5 years later, that's exactly what happens.
And to be give some credit here to at least one Republican, Thomas Massey, who is a congressman, he actually is trying to, you know, wave the red flag here on this issue to get
that's
people's
good.
Attention. He said this. About keeping E-Verify in the bill, he said, if heaven forbid the U.S. government ever adopts a social credit score, national E-Verify is one more tool they can use to prevent honest people from being a part of society. Believe what you will.
They just strip your verification away, and then you can't work anymore.
But it will have little impact on illegal immigration into this country. Because, again, if you're willing to employ someone under the table, then you don't care about E-Verify, right? You're not going to use E-Verify if you're paying somebody cash to work for you. So it's just
It makes me surprised there's not a central bank digital currency aspect of this very bill, right? Because in order to really do this, you have to eliminate cash payments.
Well, that's what they're working on.
Right.
That's going to be a separate bill. But Republicans, he says, also are about to make a huge mistake. Biden forced millions of Americans to take vaccines by threatening their jobs and turning employers into enforcers. We all remember this, right?
They didn't threaten people. People literally lost jobs.
Yeah.
It literally happened.
Imagine giving Biden the ultimate on-off switch for employment called E-Verify. It might as well be called V-Verify. This, of course, was Thomas Massey, who's been a disciple, according to the Mises Institute, of Ron Paul. So it's not surprising that Massey's concerns reflect those of Paul's. For his part, Paul opposed E-Verify since its earliest years, and in the past decade has specifically warned it could be used to essentially create a broad federal permission to work regime. In 2018, Ron Paul wrote this, quote, E-Verify almost certainly will be used for purposes unrelated to immigration. One potential use of it is to limit the job prospects of anyone whose lifestyle displeases the government. This could include those accused of failing to pay their fair share in taxes, those who homeschool or don't vaccinate their children, or those who own firearms. Unscrupulous government officials could use E-Verify against those who practice anti-war, anti-tax, anti-surveillance, and anti-Federal Reserve activism.
Basically, if you just tweet something they don't like, they can strip away your ability to work.
If you like a tweet that they don't like.
Yep.
Those who consider this unlikely should remember the long history of the IRS targeting the political enemies of those in power and the use of anti-terrorism laws to harass anti-war activists.
It's been a long time, but I'm pretty sure that the IRS, under the Obama administration, specifically targeted Republican organizations.
Yeah, I remember that.
So it would seem like Republicans should be still licking some of those wounds, should still taste the blood in their mouths from licking wounds, and should have the...
They're too distracted by smelling the blood of potential immigrants. Mm. We're going to catch those immigrants. We're going to stop them with our E-Verify. And they can't, you know?
And by the way, I'd warn Republicans, this is an important thing to be warned about, is what government program has worked? Like, if this E-Verify that you're talking about is so exciting to you, what other government program has really worked in the way that it was specified? Not just that there could be unintended consequences that could at some point come back and bite you and yours, because there most assuredly would be, but that those consequences will exist and you won't get what you want. That's how government programs work.
That's a good point as well, yeah.
They should also consider, said Ron Paul, the current moves to outlaw certain types of politically incorrect speech, such as disputing the alleged consensus regarding climate change. Now, back to Mises, they say here the potential for abuse of E-Verify is, of course, enormous, but even if applied specifically to immigration matters, imposing yet more federal regulations on every American entrepreneur and employer is hardly a reasonable way to approach immigration policy. Cracking down on productive employers and landlords, does that mean that E-Verify is going to have to be used for people that are applying to rent a house?
Why wouldn't it?
He has always been utterly incompatible with basic property rights and market freedom. Such measures amount to little more than unleashing armed federal agents on private businesses for the quote-unquote crime of not having the correct federal paperwork. In his article, The Tragedy of Immigration Enforcement, Lou Rockwell...
Ben, I know what that's like.
He noted how the last thing this country needs is more federal bureaucrats shutting down more businesses. When federal agents shut down a restaurant for employing the non-government approved workers, quote, the government is busting up a whole series of voluntary labor relationships that are designed to provide people with good food. Let us be clear, to the extent that many people object to illegal immigration, it has nothing to do with those who go to work and make an honest living doing things like working in restaurants. The problem with illegal immigration is related to other issues that drive people crazy, like going on welfare, engaging in actual crime, and demanding tax-funded support services. Although, to be fair, we did have a guy call in tonight.
I would be much more interested in laws, if you were trying to immigrate, to limit immigration, is laws that went after people that specifically did the things that Republicans claim is so terrible. So, say, vote, commit crimes while they're here.
We already have laws about that.
Right. Well, I'm just saying that would be, well, if you wanted to, you know, if you tacked on, look, there's going to be a 25% longer sentence if you're an illegal immigrant that commits a crime. Okay. At least you're trying to attack the problem.
I just think it's cute that, like, this is what Americans are arguing about, right? When we're like maybe a decade away from people not wanting to come to the United States and from Americans trying desperately to escape the poverty that exists in the United States. It's like arguing about what colored drapes you're going to put in the house that is actively burning to the ground. There are way bigger issues right now than keeping the brown people out of the United States. Why don't you tar and feather the bankers that are in bed with your government and then maybe work on immigration? But first do something about the bankers that literally own your government.
They had every chance to do that in you and Ian's trial, and they did not have any interest.
Yep.
Well, I didn't go to trial, but yes, Eddie Ian's trial.
Proponents of E-Verify, of course, claim it's all very employer-friendly and takes mere minutes to use. Sure, it takes a heroic amount of faith in the government to assume that E-Verify will be the first federal regulatory program that makes life easier for private businesses, many of which are small businesses with razor-thin profit margins. If E-Verify proves to be little more than just one more costly hoop for business owners to jump through, that would be the best-case scenario. It's more likely that E-Verify will gradually turn into a model or hub for new programs that tie work eligibility to any number of federal mandates and requirements for quote-unquote good, i.e. obedient, citizenship.
Never mind the reality that if this thing is that easy, if the hoop is that easy to jump through, then it's not going to do anything to stop illegal immigration, right? The easier you make it to get E-verified or whatever, the less capable of protecting businesses from hiring illegal immigrants is going to be. The easier you give them that check mark that says you only hire E-verified people, the harder it's going to be to actually do anything about illegal immigration. Those two goals are mutually at odds.
Right. The same people that would have us believe that the little old ladies that volunteer at the voting place are letting people who cannot speak English come in and vote en masse. And I'm sure some of them slip through and vote. But, I mean, I don't think the vast majority of them want to go anywhere near a place, a polling place, because it's, you know, dangerous in their minds. You know, why would you do that?
Right. Plus they came here to work and send money back to their families. I suspect most of them don't give a damn about whatever's going on in Washington, D.C.
I think the whole world gives a damn about what's happening in Washington, D.C., but I think most people understand that their vote is insignificant to the point to pointlessness. I gave up my vote happily.
Why would you risk being snatched up for appearing at a government vote center and losing the opportunity to continue to provide for your family in Mexico.
Never mind, how does that even work, right? Because like, I've never been, you got to at least give them a name, and they have to look and make sure you're registered as an address. Like, how do you vote if you're not registered? How does that even work?
You would have to get registered to vote. I mean, that would be what you'd have to do, and how you would do that, different in different states.
But that means you literally, I still don't understand the problem, because they literally live here in the United States, so why shouldn't they have the right to determine the ruler, same as everyone else?
It's a great question, but not what we're addressing here. I want to just finish this up here. So he says, after all, if the last 3 years have taught us anything, it's the federal government is more than willing to unilaterally expand and interpret federal policies in whatever way federal policymakers please. Note, for example, how the Biden administration used Medicare and Medicaid funding as a means to ram through vaccine mandates at hospitals, and how the administration used OSHA as a backdoor method of imposing vaccine mandates on employers.
The CDC put a moratorium on evictions for like a year and a half.
OSHA was not created to enforce such mandates, but that didn't stop the White House from telling it to do so. E-Verify would provide a similar way for the federal government to leverage its power against all employers in America, and the Republicans out there are cheering this thing on and acting like it's going to solve all of their immigration woes, when the reality is it's just going to make life that much more difficult for people who are just trying to get some damn work and some people who are willing to give it to them. It just makes life more difficult for employers and their employees. That's what they're going to get out of this. And that's if it works as intended.
That's the best case scenario.
Right.
The most likely scenario is it is going to end up being part of some social credit system, some vaccine mandate system. Did they forget that literally Joe Biden is the president right now? Like, can you imagine how he would use this crap against people? We've already, as Mises pointed out, we've already seen examples of them doing exactly this. Why in the world would you give him more power?
Well, we'll see. Again, it's just in a bill. Maybe it won't end up passing, but it's just, I wanted to point out that it's so clear how Republicans have absolutely no principles. For libertarians out there that think that Republicans are your allies, they can be allies just like Democrats can be allies on specific issues. But when they're out of power, do not be fooled by their siren song of liberty, we're Republicans, we're small government.
Well, it's called the Secure the Borders Act or whatever. Yeah. Their careers would not survive as Republicans voting against this act. It doesn't matter what's actually in it. They're probably, you voted against securing the borders?
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
It's sad.
That's what happens, is the Republicans tell lies that libertarians like. And, you're just believing lies.
But they've never been proponents of small government.
They just say they are.
I'm not saying for whatever reason, people tend to support their party telling lies. The Democrats tell lies, too. Lots of them.
Yeah.
Well, at least the Democrats don't lie about believing in freedom in most cases, right? Like, a lot of times, the Democrats will tell you to your face they want to have some more socialist programs. They won't use that word, but they'll tell you all about their welfare.
They lie about supporting minorities and black people and LGBTQ people while they actively took up policies that harm those people.
That's a fact.
That's what they do. Republicans lie about being pro-small government and,
yes,
you know, anti-immigration while they do things that aren't exactly the opposite.
Different lies, yeah.
Until the very recent past, Democrats would tell lies like, we believe in freedom of speech and freedom of religion and freedom of conscience and a variety of things like that.
COVID proved all that to be a lie.
They have given up on that completely. And there's many Democrats that are like, what happened to our party?
So earlier we were talking about South America, Central America, and you're down there in Honduras right now, which is actually right next door to El Salvador. Where, of course,
they had a war one time with El Salvador over a soccer match.
Wow.
Good Lord.
Where, of course, in El Salvador, we've been following.
It was a football match.
Football.
Mark.
It's football.
Where we've been following for the last couple
religion
of years
here.
How El Salvador has made Bitcoin legal tender. Now, of course, right now, I suspect hardly anyone, first of all, hardly anyone's been using Bitcoin in El Salvador. And now that the fees are like $5 per transaction.
Yeah, no one's using it right now.
Guarantee no one is using it at all. But in other news in El Salvador, and this one I've been holding on to for a few weeks here, but I definitely want to bring this up. The president there, Nayib Bukele, who gets all this accolades from the Bitcoiners for being pro-Bitcoin, And they just conveniently ignore all the other, like, tyrannical stuff this guy is doing because, hey, he likes Bitcoin. Well, he's rounding up thousands of suspects and throwing them into prisons, a huge new prison that will hold 40,000 people.
Meanwhile,
that's gigantic.
He stripped people of their right to a trial, and he stripped people of their right to an attorney. And he's just throwing them in prison under the suspicion of being affiliated with the gang.
That's right. They are
not jail, prison.
Emergency, quote-unquote, emergency measures, which, of course, we all know, whenever the government cites it's an emergency, that means it's open season to do whatever the F they want to do, screw whatever the Constitution says, and all that, would take its crackdown into its 13th month. This was in March, by the way, when this was written. Over the last year, about 65,000 people have been arrested, according to the AP, in the anti-gang campaign. Human rights groups say, surprise, there have been many instances of prisoner abuses and that innocent people have been swept up in police raids. Basically, we read.
Well, how do we know that? They're not even giving these people trials.
Well, what we know is they have family members.
Right. Okay,
so there was another story about this previously where all that had to happen was somebody had to say that this person was involved in a gang. So they would, like,
a witch hunt,
grab up some other gang, alleged gang member, and then say, give us the names. Who do you know? And then they'd just name somebody, and then the cops would go raid that person and snatch that person up. Even if there was absolutely no evidence whatsoever that this person had ever been involved in gang activity, just because another alleged gang member said so-and-so, they just go and they get so-and-so, and then they snatch them up. And their
like Stalin's gulag system.
And their family, much like the gulags, the family members don't know where they're being taken to. So even if they are able to hire a lawyer or something that's willing to help them, actually finding their loved one in the system is very, very difficult, if not impossible in certain cases.
I just beg Bitcoin people, cryptocurrency people, to stop supporting this guy. Okay, look, he likes Bitcoin, fine, but look at how much evil he is doing.
And if you haven't seen it, the government announced a mass inmate transfer with a slickly produced video posted on social media. It shows prisoners forced to run barefoot and handcuffed down stairways and over bare ground, clad only in regulation white shorts. They were forced to sit with their legs locked in closely clumped groups in cells. So
with their heads, and part of the video I saw, with their heads literally against the person's back in front of them.
Correct. Yeah, just sitting on the ground with just a pair of shorts on, lined up in rows, long rows of what must have been, you know, 100 people per row, four in a column or whatever next to one another. Just hundreds of men, shirtless men, just being forced to go to various different places by masked men, by the way. The prison guards,
I saw that.
Most of them had full-on balaclava masks on, so you couldn't recognize who they were in these videos.
And
very, very
out revenge.
Right, revenge on men who have not been convicted. I think that's the most important takeaway here. Because when you see the video, if you're like, and by the way, the conservatives love this stuff.
So this is why they use the tattooed people, right?
Yes.
Because, oh, yeah. Look at all the tattoos. Like, they must be a gang member. Look, I'm covered in tattoos, man. I'm not a gang member.
You don't have as many tattoos as some of these guys. But,
true.
But yeah, I mean, they have all their heads, they're shaved, so, like, they look the part.
The police probably
tattoos.
Do that to them when they book them to,
of course,
take care of lice or whatever.
Guarantee you they do. So, like, the video that Bukele shared out, I mean, if you go to his Twitter, he tweets a lot, so it's probably not easy to find it. It's been 2 months or whatever, but you can find this stuff, and it's a very well produced, like, they hired like a professional Hollywood level company to come in here and shoot this with like multiple cameras, with all these guys being moved around this prison and the abusive kind of situation that they're in, and it's like set to dramatic music, and the president's going to get all the gang members, and they also claim that violent crime is down by like 57%. So of course the conservative, the law and order,
but it's not down. They're literally kidnapping people and imprisoning them. That's literally
a violent crime. But they don't count that.
They're just moving it.
Sure. So the conservatives, though, are loving this. You know, like the people in the United States are like, yeah, that's how you do it. You know, no rights. Screw that. Just arrest everybody that you think is a criminal. Throw them into a terrorism detention center, which is what I believe they're calling this thing.
And
throw away the key.
All you have to do is imagine yourself being one of these people. Like, that's it.
They can't.
Why can't they? Because they're psychopaths?
They believe they're law-abiding people, and this could never happen to them.
But some of these people are law-abiding people.
That's right.
And I think that this is worth pointing out, is that if you if you go into certain neighborhoods, you grab up people that you think are probably gang members, you can probably bring down violent crime. Now, you're going to throw a bunch of innocent people in jail in the process. And I think what's important here is that everybody Republicans tend to revere the founders, and I have some reverence for that, too. Remember that the founders said, it is better that 10 guilty men go free than one innocent person is convicted.
Yeah.
And that's an important point to remember. Look, I get it. It's safer out there and whatever. But if it was your kid who was innocent and who was caught up,
and then thrown into this prison with actual gang members, because they probably did get a bunch of real gang members in these.
Yeah, and I'm not convinced it's any safer out there. Your chances of getting attacked by one of these gang members may have gone down, but your chances of being attacked by the government have definitely gone up.
Right, because now somebody who doesn't like you can just say that you're involved with gang activity, and they'll snatch you up.
So is anyone in El Salvador actually safer, or are they just safer from this one particular group attacking them?
Gustavo Villatoro, who's the government's minister for justice and peace, quote unquote, said the suspected gang members would never return to the streets.
Yeah, they have been saying some horrific things about these gang members.
They are never going to return to the communities, the neighborhoods, the barrios, the cities of our beloved El Salvador.
Didn't they talk about starving people at one point? Didn't Bukele himself talk about how they were going to begin denying people food and stuff like that?
I don't know. I didn't see that, but I wouldn't doubt it. So far, only about 3,500 people that have been swept up have been released. And about 57,000 of those who've been arrested are still waiting formal charges or trial.
They haven't even been charged. Good Lord.
Bukele, who revels in taking a contrarian stance and once described himself as, quote, the world's coolest dictator, wrote in his Twitter account that, quote, there are now 4,000 gang members in the world's most criticized prison, the Terrorism Confinement Center, is holding thousands of people already and could house up to 40,000 inmates. As you might imagine, that is going to be a lot of inmates in every single cell. According to the video, at least, they show a lot of dudes selling together in this particular prison. And imagine being an innocent person and being swept up into a prison in which you're surrounded by actual gang member thugs. You've never had anything to do with gang activity whatsoever, but this is now your new life. Just imagine that.
You'll be a gang member afterward.
And that is that's a good point. And that is what these conservatives are cheering on. And not to say the Democrats don't either. They love tough on crime nonsense too. Out of time tonight. Back tomorrow. If you didn't get in on the phones, just call us earlier tomorrow night. We'll see you then. FreeTalkLive.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.